Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, the Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour, please visit the webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour, an editorial review, brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the International Forecaster right after this. Well, are you concerned about your privacy? How much does your government know about you, and how much do you want your government to know about you? Well, government only knows as much about you as you tell them about yourself. And everything that government, industry, or business knows about you is because you told them. Now, the Fourth Amendment protects you when your person, houses, papers, and effects, but it does not protect you from yourself. Now, can we have privacy in the computer age? Well, you bet we can. Information is gathered and stored in a very reasoned and logical manner for later retrieval and use. It's knowing how this information is gathered. It's knowing what information is stored and what information you want to keep personal and private that actually puts you in the driver's seat in your quest for privacy. So always keep in mind that no one knows anything about you except that which you have revealed by your own hand or your own mouth. Now, if you'd like to learn more about privacy and privacy issues, why don't you call and ask for my free general law CD package? That's a 4-hour program. It's entertaining, it's informative, it's informational, it's educational, and best of all, it's free of charge. And all you have to do to get yours is just call the school at area code 417-273-4967 and order it. That's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to the webpage, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and then send an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. Have you ever heard of PETA? P-E-T-A. It's the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. A radical group of vegetarians. And they're so serious about their vegetarianism that they impact legislation and impact upon what goes on in America as it relates to food and fiber, taxes, and ecological and animal issues. Well, PETA president and co-founder Ingrid Newkirk has described her group's overall goal as total animal liberation. This means no meat, no milk, no zoos, no circuses, no wool, no leather, no hunting, no fishing, and no pets, not even seeing eye dogs. Now, PETA is also against all medical research that requires the use of animals. Now, that's item number one. 7 things that you didn't know about PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I think most of us are in favor of treating animals ethically. I know when I have a cow or an animal here that gets sick or that's down and they're obviously going to die, we do what we call here on the farm, putting them out of their misery. You shoot them between the eyes, and that ends their misery. Now, I don't know if people think that's cruel. I imagine people that live in the city would say, oh, my God, you should take that cow to the veterinarian. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. The next time I have one down, and it looks like the cow's going to die, and I get to the point where I say, well, the only thing left is to put it out of its misery. And if you think that that's unreasonable, unethical, why don't you send me a letter, give me your phone number, and what I'll do is I'll call you and I'll tell you this cow's down, and I'm not going to kill it because you're opposed to killing this animal and putting it out of its misery. And you obviously want to bring this cow back to full health. Maybe it'll require an operation. Maybe it'll require extended medical services from the veterinarian. I don't know. But I'll tell you, if you're willing to pay for it, I'm willing to let you pay. And then you can be just as ethical as you want to be. Is that fair enough? Because, see, us normal run-of-the-mill farmers out here, you know, we can't afford to treat cows, dogs and cats and other animals like we do people by sending them to the ER. And that doesn't work out here in the real world, but maybe in the city, you know, where people are divorced from reality, maybe it'll work there. Here's number two. Despite its constant moralizing about the unethical treatment of animals by restaurant owners, grocers, farmers, scientists, fishermen, and countless other Americans, PETA has killed over 10,000 dogs and cats at its Norfolk, Virginia headquarters. During 2003, PETA put to death over 85% of the animals that it collected from members of the public. Well, I don't say that that's necessarily bad. I think those animals all needed to be killed. I mean, you got tens of millions of animals, cats and dogs, and you know they breed quite prolifically. I don't know if you've ever done the arithmetic on it, but I just thought I'd do that because I had a young lady here one day, and she wanted to come to school here, and I said, well, come on down. And she showed me some pictures. She's a very avid horse woman, horse equestrian, I guess they call that. And she showed me some pictures of a slaughterhouse. Now, here in the United States, there's not too many people that eat horse meat. So they slaughter them here, and they feed them, you know, to canneries to make dog food and so on. Now, over in France and Russia, they eat a lot of horse meat. Well, she showed me some pictures of this horse that was being hung up by its back legs. And it was dead, just kind of hanging there pathetically, waiting for the butcher to skin it, gut it, and chop it up into steaks and chops and hamburger. And almost with tears in her eyes, she told me about how unethical and how wicked and evil and how bad this was and how we needed to save the horses. And I asked her, well, what did you want to save them for? And She looked at me like I was Boris Karloff playing Frankenstein, and she said, why they deserve to live. They're such beautiful animals. And I said, you know, when God made horses, he made a hell of an invention there, and I don't deny it. But the point is, a horse eats about as much as two cows, and not very many people want to eat those horses. And those horses are out there eating the feed that would support two cows, which would produce milk for people and beef for people to eat. Now, I know people eat McDonald's burgers, and I know people drink a little milk once in a while, but I don't know of very much that those horses are good for. And I think that she thought I was about the next thing, the next best thing to Frankenstein. Well, needless to say, she didn't go to school here. She was just absolutely shocked. Now, I'm not opposed to horses. I don't want you to think that I hate horses and I want to kill all the horses in the world. I think the world needs a few horses. I don't know how many are needed. If you want a horse and you've got room for it and you've got feed for it, I don't see any reason why you shouldn't have a horse or two or 10 or 10,000. I mean, I don't care. But I don't have any horses on my farm, and I don't want any horses on my farm. I do have some cows and some sheep. I can eat those. I can milk them. I mean, I can do something constructive and entertaining with them. But I wonder if anybody in the city there has ever done the arithmetic on just a pair of cats. Now, this outfit here is making fun of PETA, and PETA is putting these animals to sleep, I guess is the way you put it when you're in the city. Out here on the farm, we just kill them. Dead. All over, just like Rover. It's just like a possum trying to get into the hen house. I just kill them. I mean, I got to choose, you know, between possums and eggs. And my chickens and eggs win out every time. And the possums lose every time. I mean, that's just the way reality is. So, I did the arithmetic for you here. So, if you got a pen and paper, write this down. If you've got a boy cat and a girl cat, how many cats would you have on planet Earth in 20 years from one pair of cats? And I know that there's a pair of cats in every state in the Union and probably in every county and probably in every city and probably in every block. There's probably a pair of cats. But I'm just telling you that if we started off with just a pair of cats, that's all we had is two cats, a boy and a girl. Got to have a boy cat and a girl cat. In 20 years, how many cats would you have? Well, the answer is 302,330 trillion cats. Do the arithmetic. Take two cats. Now, I got a few cats out here in the barn, and once in a while they get to breed, and they get to being too many. You know, you get two, and then you get six, and then you get 12 or 15. And about that time, I go out with a gun, and I thin out the population, get it down to about four or five. Four or five we can handle, 30 or 40 or a couple too many. And it sounds kind of cruel, but I just wanted to point out that PETA over here puts to sleep more than 10,000 dogs and cats just at its Norfolk, Virginia headquarters. And that was during 2003. They put to death 85% of the animals that it collected. I presume that the other 15% must have been put out to somebody's home. So, listen, if there's any of you people out there that are offended by me shooting these possums and coons, that's another critter comes around here. And when they do, I shoot them. I don't want any coons, and I don't want any possums. Now, I know that a lot of people out there like coons and possums, and I'd like to make you this offer. I'll catch all the coons and possums in my Have a Heart trap, and I'll give them to anybody that wants a home for them. All you got to do is come by and pick them up. Send me your name and your telephone number, and I'll call you just as soon as I catch it. Is that a deal? I mean, free of charge. Don't cost you a dime. And you can take those coons and possums back to New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, wherever you want, and make a good home for them and just do whatever, you know, you think that you ought to do. And this goes to all you PETA people out there and all of you bleeding heart liberals and vegetarians, you know. But I want to save every coon and every possum that there is. I just don't want to save them around my chicken house. Now, if you just took a pair of cats and just let those cats breed, on average, they'll have six kittens in a litter, and they'll do that two or three times a year. I don't know what the gestation period is, but I know that we got an old cat out here, and she produces two litters a year. Sometimes it's more than six, and then two or three of them die, or sometimes it's three or four, but I'd say about six on average. So I just took that number, six, twice a year. So at the end of 2005, she's going to produce 12 kittens. 12 kittens. That's about all we can handle around here is 12. Now, those 12 kittens, that's six boys and six girls, they're going to breed. And those six boy and six girl kittens, at the end of the year, that's the beginning of 2006, they'll be ready. It don't take them a year, but, you know, let's just be reasonable and give you a year. Those 12 cats are going to produce 12 cats each. So that's 12 times 12 is 144. So at the end of the third year, we're going to have 144 kittens, 144 cats. That's not bad from a pair. In 36 months, you end up with 144, but it gets better. At the end of the fourth year, those 144 cats are going to produce, you guessed it, 12 each. 12 times 144 is 1,728 cats. Now, 1,728 cats can eat one of those little cans of cat food a day. I think it's 6 ounces, and one of those little looks like a tuna fish can. And last time I was over at the store, they cost 65 cents a can. Now, that's 1,728. I'll just figure this out. 1,728 on my Texas Instruments calculator times 0.65 cents a can. That's $1,123.20 a day to feed those 1,728 cats. Did you get that? $1,123.20 a day. Now, you can feed them cheaper than that. I'll grant you that. You don't need to feed them that Frisky's Vittles. I mean, you can go over here to the Purina, and the feed store, and you can buy, what is it, Old Roy dog food? They eat Old Roy. They eat cat. I mean, they eat dead squirrels. You can shoot a squirrel out of the tree and the cats will be on it. You know, like flies on snake. Well, anyway, they'll eat anything. Cats, you know, they're kind of scavengers. And these 1,728 cats could probably be fed for around $500 a day. $500 a day for all you cat lovers out there. That's a hell of a deal. And listen, if you'd like to take my 1,728 cats, you get them all free of charge and you can feed them. If you can feed them, you can have them. But it gets better. At the end of the fifth year, it's 20,736. At the end of 10 years, get this, 5,159,780,352 cats. It jumps up to 30 billion, 180 billion, and then a trillion cats at the end of the 13th year. 1 trillion, 80 billion. Then, at the end of 16 years, it's 233,280 billion. 233,000. Do you know how many that is? Well, there's 1,000 billion in a trillion, so that's 233 trillion. And my little Texas Instrument calculator now it's struggling. By the end of the 16th year, when I got to 20 years, it was all done in. You just blew up in a puff of smoke and said 302 trillion. No, it's 302,330 trillion. 302,330 trillion cats in 20 years. Now, can you see why God made coyotes and owls? We got a nifty critter. We call them, they're great big barn owls, we call them here. I don't know what the official name is. They got a wingspan of about, I'd say, 6 feet. 4, 5, 6 feet. I mean, those are big owls. And they hunt in pairs, and you can listen to a couple of them out, because I got guineas, you know, and those owls, they swoop down, take those guineas out of the tree. You get chickens, you know, that roost out, the owls come and clean them right up. You got cats running around in the barnyard, why, those owls just come down here, they take their toll. The reason that we don't have, now I've been here 20 years, and we had a pair of cats here back in 1985 when I moved here. We had a pair of cats, but we don't have 302,330 trillion cats because we got a lot of owls, coyotes, coons, and other critters that come in and eat the cats. And that keeps them under control. And that's the balance of nature that you observe out here. Well, you know, possums and coons breed that way, but you don't see 302,330 or 302,330 trillion coons or possums, and that's because there's critters out here that take care of them. So, you know, if you want to take care of the natural balance, if you just turn all those cats and dogs in the city, I mean, you know, you can spend a lot of money euthanizing them and killing them and then disposing of the bodies if you want to, but you can just turn them loose out in the countryside. I mean, you just take them out and put them, turn them loose in the forest, and I can assure you that nature will take care of it. It does right here in our forest, and I'll bet you it'll do it on the outskirts of Chicago. All right, so that takes care of that little story for you. Now, PETA, this is number three. PETA has given tens of thousands of dollars to convicted arsonists and other violent criminals. This includes a 2001 donation of $1,500 to the North American Earth Liberation Front called ELF, E-L-F. Now, ELF, the Earth Liberation Front, is an FBI-certified domestic terrorist group responsible for dozens of firebombings and death threats. During the 1990s, PETA paid $70,200 to an animal liberation front called the ALF, activist convicted of burning down a Michigan State University research laboratory. In his sentencing recommendation, a federal prosecutor implicated PETA President Ingrid Newkirk in that crime. And PETA vegetarian campaign coordinator Bruce Frederick told an animal rights convention in 2001 that blowing stuff up and smashing windows is a great way to bring about animal liberation. Now, I don't understand the logic behind that. I don't understand why it is that we need to liberate animals. Now, let me just bear with me now. Just bear with me. We have a lot of coons and possums around, and we've got coyotes in abundance here. I can assure you that none of them here in Ozark County need any liberation at all. They're just as free as they can be, and they'll be into your hens, they'll be into your chickens, they get into your guineas. I mean, they'll clean you out if they can. If you've got some ducks down here at the pond, you can rest assured that the coons will clean them out. Now, some of us would like to have some ducks, and some of us would like to have a few geese, and some of us want a few turkeys and chickens and guineas and a few other critters around here, but you can't have them with coons. That's my complaint. So I just wanted to share with you that out here in the real world, if you want to have, you know, cows and sheep and some of these other animals, then some of the other animals have to give way. And this is what the old timers, way, way back in the olden days, discovered when they broke ground out in the plains. Let me describe this for you. My great-granddad, great-grandfather, his name was Abe Snyder, he came west from Indiana in 1872 in a covered wagon. He was born in 1855, so he was a big strapping teenage kid in 1872, see, about 17 years old. And while they were coming across the plains in those prairie schooners, his dad, that would be my great-great-grandfather, Snyder, was shot in the arm, left arm, with an Indian arrow, and he lost the use of that arm for the rest of his life. And they came west, and they settled in a place called Fort Bragg, California, went a little further north there to Westport, California, up on the coast there. And they settled, and they lived there until the old man died, 1947. And they discovered when they got out here that there were grizzly bears, mountain lions, and all kinds of critters. There was wolves. I mean, and they went to work to clean out the grizzly bears. They killed as many as they could. And the ones that they couldn't kill, they drove off. And the mountain lions, and they did that because they didn't want to eat mountain lions, grizzly bears, and wolves, but they did want to eat sheep and cows, and they wanted to milk cows, and they had to make a choice between grizzly bears and mountain lions and cows and sheep. And so, you know, being selfish people that they were, they chose sheep and cows because they could eat them and milk them, and they could live off of them, and they couldn't live off of the grizzly bears and the mountain lions. And that's why, boys and girls, the old-timers killed off all of those predators. And in the Bible, I know, I'm getting way out in left field now, but in the Bible, in Deuteronomy 28 and in Leviticus 26, God said that He would drive out these predators little by little as we came in and occupied the land, which is precisely what happened, you know, between about 1840 and about 1900. Now, a guy by the name of Walt Disney popularized animals that talk. You know, animals like Bambi, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Pluto, you know. And so, if you're like I am, you know, you grew up with these animals and they talk in the cartoons. And so, these PETA people have gotten to the point where they actually believe that Bambi, Mickey, and Donald are real. And they want to go out and they want to protect them because, you know, Donald's a pretty nice guy and so is Mickey and Bambi, and we're not opposed to Bambi. So somebody goes out and shoots a deer and they say, oh my God, look at that, he killed Bambi. You know what I mean? And God made all those animals out there, you know, at least the clean ones that you see described in Leviticus 11 for people to eat. Now, these people are vegetarians, so they're anti-God and they're anti-Scripture because the Scripture talks about vegetarianism as being a doctrine of devils. And you'll see that in 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4. Why don't you take a look at that? 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 4, vegetarianism. And I did a series of programs, I believe, on vegetarianism some time back. If you'll go to the webpage and you look up vegetarianism, I think you can get that program. Let me just flip over here and I'll show you this. Not that I'm opposed to you PETA people. Now, you're certainly entitled to be vegetarians if you so desire. And I don't want to get in the way of your religious beliefs. And I guess if people want to be vegetarians, that's fine with me. But many times they say, well, the Bible teaches vegetarianism, and the Bible doesn't teach vegetarianism at all. And Jesus ate the Passover every year, and the Passover is when you kill a little lambie by cutting its throat. You know, you cut its throat and bleed all the blood out, and then you cook it on a spit, and then you eat that animal at Passover time every year. I just thought I'd share that with you. Jesus was not a vegetarian. It says here in chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, you know, about now, about 2005, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So whatever these doctrines of devils are, some people will give way to these seducing spirits, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. That sounds like Catholic priests to me. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Yeah, forbidding people sounds like PETA here, forbidding people to eat meat. Now, of course, everybody has a right to make a choice in life, and I don't mind people, you know, who want to choose to be vegetarians. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me is that they want to get up in my face and tell me that I ought to be a vegetarian with them. And I like to tell them to kiss off and go live their lives, and I'll live mine. How's that for a wild new idea? Number three, PETA has given tens of thousands of dollars to convicted arsonists and other violent criminals. Do you think that the support of arsonists and violent criminals is civilized? Sounds kind of crazy to me. Sounds kind of crazy to everybody. What I can't understand is how come the FBI can catch tax protesters, they can catch speeders, you know, they can catch people that are driving their cars without insurance, but they can't catch these guys that burn down buildings and are arsonists, and they can't do anything about these PETA people that support these ALF activists who was convicted of burning down a Michigan State University research laboratory. And get this, and PETA vegetarian campaign coordinator Bruce Frederick told an animal rights convention in 2001 that blowing stuff up and smashing windows is a great way to bring about animal liberation. Huh? And somehow or another, our government can't put this domestic terrorist organization out of business, but they can look up your rectum in an airport to see if you've got explosives because they think you're a terrorist. Here's a bunch of terrorists running around out here that have been identified. Can't do anything about them, but we can strip search you and feel you ladies up in the airports, can't we? Now, number four, PETA activists regularly target children as young as 6 years old with anti-meat and anti-milk propaganda, often waiting outside their schools to intercept them as they walk to and from class without notifying parents. One piece of kid-targeted PETA literature tells small children, "Your mommy kills animals." I guess, "Your mommy kills Bambi." PETA brags that its messages reach over 2 million children every year, including thousands reached by email without the permission of their parents. And one PETA vice president told the Fox News Channel's audience, "Our campaigns are always geared towards children, and they always will be." Well, you know, that's kind of peculiar because I never have gone down to the local Lutie school and started campaigning for you little vegetarian punks over here should start killing Bambi and eating more meat. Probably clear up the pimples on your face. It never occurred to me that I should go out and propagandize your children and tell your kids to eat meat. I guess it's because I really don't care what your kids eat. I guess that's because I'm not a lunatic fringe or a fanatic who's out here with an agenda trying to get you people to change your lifestyles. Now, if you'll think about it for a minute, these people are religious. These people are dangerous. Religious people are dangerous people. Do you ever think about that? Well, just take a look at North Ireland. You got Catholics on the one hand and Protestants on the other, setting off bombs and murdering and killing each other. I tell you, boys and girls, Christians are dangerous people to be around. I mean, these people are killers. Now, take a look at these Jews and Muslims. I mean, they're killing each other over there just as fast as they can load their guns and set off bombs, and they walk around with explosives strapped on them. and blowing each other up and killing women and kids and indiscriminately. I mean, you know, it'd be one thing if they targeted a policeman or they targeted a soldier. They go in here to ice cream parlors and places, you know, and blow up teenage kids, you know. I don't know if these teenage kids are eating meat or not, but I guess PETA would sit there and say, well, served you right, you know, you little punks in here at McDonald's eating meat, and this Muslim extremist came in here and blew all of you people up. Serves you right. I mean, is that the attitude that we have here because these people eating meat? Now I tell you, boys and girls, religious people are dangerous people. You can see it with the Jews and the Arabs. You can see it with the Christians between the Catholics and the Protestants. You could see it with the Japanese and the Chinese in World War II. You could see it with the Japanese and the Americans. You can see it in Germany with evolutionary philosophy, you know, the guiding light of the Nazis. I mean, you know, these people are religious. And let's just get down to where reality meets the road. People that practice witchcraft are religious people. People that practice vegetarianism are religious people. And those of us that aren't so religious, you know, people, you know, that just run around and say, well, look, you know, you got to do something with these horses. These horses keep multiplying out in the West, and you got tens of thousands of these horses out here in the West multiplying. Well, let's just keep going. You know, a horse produces one offspring every year. Those horses live for 20 years, so a mare will produce about 20 foals. Half of those foals in 20 years are going to be little girl horses, and little girl horses have more horses. And, you know, you just keep multiplying those out. It takes 2 years for them to get up to breeding age, and they last for 20 years, so they're going to produce about 20 offspring. Let's do absolutely nothing about the horse population. Let's just let them multiply. What do you think the ultimate end is going to be? Well, pretty soon you'll have all of the land occupied by horses and none of the land occupied by cows. Now, when you have 337 trillion horses dotting the landscape of America, what's next? You want to go from 300 to 600 trillion? From 600 to 1,200 trillion? I mean, come on, boys and girls. You know, it's time to grow up and get real. I don't know what the optimum number of horses on the range is, but at some point in time, you're going to have to come to grips with reality and decide that 10,000, 20,000, or 20 million, or 200 million is enough, aren't you? I mean, that's what we have to do with cats and dogs. That's why we have to have places where we put them down, just like PETA puts down 85% of the dogs and cats brought to them. I mean, boys and girls, that's the logical solution. It's the natural solution. It's what happens out in the woods in the real world. Hang on. Let me give you a reminder. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the law school and ask for it. It's 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Remember, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to my website. That's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. We're doing a little review here on PETA. That's the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I'm all for the ethical treatment of animals. I'm not in favor at all of starving animals to death or mistreating them. And I think PETA might have a couple of good ideas here as it relates to the ethical treatment of animals. I just kind of disagree with burning university laboratories and threatening people with death because they eat meat or because somebody disagrees with them. And that's what free speech is all about. Free speech is about selling your ideas. And I think that PETA should have the opportunity to present their ideas as unorthodox and as insane as they may be. I think they're pretty insane. I use the word insane because sanity, sane people, normal people, for thousands of years have been eating meat, and these people come along in the last few years and say we need to do away with crazy things, you know, like hunting, fishing, meat, milk, zoos, circuses, wool, leather, and seeing eye dogs. I fail to understand why a seeing eye dog is unethical treatment of an animal. And I fail to see where collecting the wool off of sheep is unethical, or milking a cow is unethical. Now, they're certainly entitled to their view in life, and if that guy says, well, Gordon, I think you're unethical milking that cow, well, okay, you're entitled to your view, and I'm giving you some airtime here, and I'm reviewing your beliefs. And you're certainly entitled to them, and I don't want to get in the way of your free speech, so I thought I'd exercise some of my free speech and tell you I think that's insane. And I've got some old cows out here, and one of them's named Alfalfa, and she's an old buddy, and she's been here for 14 years, and I've been milking her for 12 of those 14 years. I raised her as a calf. And that old cow's probably going to die here of old age. I mean, she's kind of like family. She's like an old, you know, you people in the city, you got your dog. You know, you're listening to this program, and you got your dog curled up there on the floor, and that dog is your buddy. Well, that cow out there is my buddy, just like that dog is. And the reason I like that cow is because I can milk her. Now, I probably won't eat old alfalfa. Now, I eat cows all the time. I kill them. I cut their throats, bleed them on the ground, and cut them up for steaks and stick them in there and grind them up, and I eat meat. But old alfalfa out there, you know, she's kind of like your dog. You know, just take a look at old Rover down there and say, well, what would you think about killing old Rover and cutting his throat and bleeding him on the ground and cutting him up for steaks and hamburger and eating him? You know, you'd say, well, that's very repulsive. So, you know, I got feelings for my old cow, too, but they're not so ingrained that I've gone lunatic or bonkers over it, and I'm going to burn somebody's laboratory down because he eats meat, or I'm going out here and finance some arsonist to go burn down somebody's house because he's a meat eater. Hell, I wouldn't even burn your house down if you're a vegetarian. So these PETA activists regularly target children then as young as 6 years old. Well, what would you think if I targeted your child and went over there and started teaching him Catholicism? What would you think if I targeted your kid and I went over there and started teaching your kid Muslim theology? What would you think about that? Well, what do you think about somebody coming over here and propagandizing your kid without your permission about vegetarianism? You know, it's nothing to me. If it doesn't bother you, well, then I guess it doesn't bother me. But let me tell you, it sure bothered me. So don't come around here spreading your crap around my children, or we're going to have some words. And I'd suggest that the rest of you out there, if your little kid comes up and says, hey, listen, look what I learned in school today. You ought to take a look at what your children are learning in your public school. Do you really agree with the crap that's being funneled down your child's, funneled into your child's mind? If you don't, why don't you do something about it? And when we get through this program here, We'll talk about international forecasters. I'm going to tell you something about the public schools here, probably next week or the week after. Number five, PETA has used a related organization. It's called the PETA Foundation. They use the PETA Foundation to fund the misnamed Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. It's called PCRM. Now, that's a pretty neat name, isn't it? Well, wouldn't you like to belong to or be associated with the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine? I mean, that's the opposite of the Physicians Committee for Irresponsible Medicine, or the Physicians Committee for Quack Medicine, or the Physicians Committee for Irresponsible, Crazy, Mixed Up Quack Medicine. I mean, you know, everybody's in favor of physicians for responsible medicine, aren't they? But this is a deceptive animal rights group that promotes itself as an unbiased source of medical and nutritional information. What would you think if I called this the Law Hour, you know, for the ethical treatment of animals? Well, I'm in favor of ethical treatment of animals, but I'm not in favor of being nutso about it. So I think that we ought to step up to the plate and tell people, well, here's what I believe. I think that clean animals from Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14 are good for food, and you ought to eat plenty of it. And if for some reason you don't like God and you don't like the Bible and you don't like meat and you don't want to eat it, well, you know, that's your choice in life. Get after it. But I'm not mislabeling what I'm telling you, and I'm not coming in here and identifying myself as, you know, George Gordon, you know, for the ethical treatment of animals, or George Gordon for vegetarianism or something else. And especially when you come up with a name like the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, it's a deceptive animal rights group that promotes itself as an unbiased source of medical and nutritional information. PCRM's president also serves as president of the PETA Foundation. So they rely upon lies and deception. So let's see. They believe in evolution. They believe in lies and deception. They believe in criminal activities, bombing, death threats, and arson. And they put their money where their mouth is. According to their tax returns, which, by the way, this is a corporation, PETA publishes its tax returns every year, $1,500 donation to the North American Earth Liberation Front, $70,000 to an animal liberation front called ALF. I mean, they put their money where their mouth is. Number six, PETA runs campaigns seemingly calculated to offend religious believers. One entire PETA website is devoted to the claim, despite ample evidence to the contrary, that Jesus Christ was a vegetarian. Jesus, the vegetarian, the guy that feeds 5,000 one time with fish and bread and feeds 4,000 another time, a vegetarian? I mean, you thought he would have fed them, you know, what do they call that, tofu or something like that? How come you didn't feed him with tofu and soybean meal rather than fish and bread? The guy that practiced the Passover, go read about the Passover in Exodus chapter 12, Matthew 25:26. He sat down with his disciples to eat the Passover. Remember that story? Said, I'm not going to eat this Passover again with you until I come back, until the second coming. Now, this guy had been eating meat all of his life, and he practiced the laws of God, and the laws of God call for eating clean animals, not any animal, just clean ones. So you can rely upon the fact that he didn't eat any coons or possum or dogs or cats. He wasn't eating horse meat. He wasn't eating shrimp and scallops and turtles. He was eating fish with fins and scales, and he was eating meat from animals that chewed the cud and had cloven hooves. And that's where the reality is. Now, these guys at PETA, I told you, they're religious guys. And they're running around out here telling you that Jesus of Nazareth was a vegetarian, in spite of the fact that the Scripture says that vegetarianism and the teaching of that doctrine is a doctrine of devils, demons. It's demonism. And I don't care what these people believe. They're certainly entitled to believe what they want to, and they're certainly entitled to free speech. And free speech in America includes lies and deception. So I just thought I'd come on the air and say, well, okay, you PETA guys have a right to get out there and spout off and tell the story, but old George has the right to come on the air and correct the story. And these people rely upon lies and deception. This PETA runs campaigns seemingly calculated to offend religious believers. I don't know how you can offend religious believers. Religious believers don't practice the scripture either. These religious people eat pig, shellfish, turtles, GMO foods. GMO foods, you see, and hybrid foods, that is, hybridized seed, violates the statute at Leviticus 19:19. I don't know how you can take Christians and offend them. Now, you could probably offend some Muslims, maybe. Those Muslims, you know, they're pretty serious practitioners of the Quran. One entire PETA website is devoted to the claim, despite ample evidence to the contrary, that Jesus Christ was a vegetarian. PETA holds protests at houses of worship, even suing one church that tried to protect its members from Sunday morning harassment. That's kind of odd. Let's see. I never have gone into somebody's church and started ranting and raving and suing some church group over here because they eat pig. I don't do that. I don't know of any other normal, sane, rational people. That's why I said these people at PETA, I think, are insane. I think they're insane because, from what I can observe, normal, sane, rational people live and let live. Now, I know down here at the local Baptist church, and they don't like me down there at the local Baptist church. They're good Christian people, I'm sure. And I don't have anything against them. I don't know very many of them. They're probably members of the community, and they probably know me, and I just don't know them. But I had a student here one time. He was from Oregon. He was a Baptist fella. And he went down there to that local Baptist church, you know, and he got to talking. They said, well, where are you from? And he said, well, I'm from Oregon. Oh, what are you doing here, you Oregonian? And he said, well, I'm going to Gordon's church over there. And so they said over there, there'll be no prayers for that Gordon in this church. I don't know what the prayers were all about, but this guy said that he'd suggested that they pray for me or something. I didn't request it. I didn't ask them to. You know, I don't ask people to pray for me. They actually might do that. I mean, you might have some guy praying for me over here that God would strike me dead, you know. I don't need that. So I thought to myself, well, the local Baptists over here, you know, I don't think they like me, but, you know, I never went down there and tried to firebomb their church, and I never had anything evil or ill to say about them one way or the other. And I'm pretty sure they probably eat pig and blood and fat and everything else, and I never went down there and tried to straighten those people out, and I never have cornered their kids on the way home from church and tried to impress upon them the errors of their ways. If I believed in what they were doing, I'd go down there and join them. Obviously, I don't believe in what they're doing. That's why I'm not a member. But then, aren't they entitled to their beliefs and their practices? Isn't that what free speech, isn't that what our First Amendment's all about? Those Baptists have a right to dislike George Gordon. I'm not wearing that on my sleeve and saying, oh, those guys don't like me, so I'm going to get real nasty. How does that affect me? It doesn't affect me one way or the other. You know, these PETA people over here, I'm all in favor of these PETA people having the bloody, balmy, what do they call that, bully pulpit. They should have a right to express their views. I just don't think that people should use lies and deception and come in here and tell you that Jesus of the Bible. Now, maybe there was some Jesus, you know, from Mexico City. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, of Spanish descent or Mexican descent. They use that name, Jesus, they call that, and they use that pretty regularly. Maybe they're talking about one of those Jesus, not the Jesus from the Bible. I don't know, but this Jesus from the Bible, he was eating meat, and when you come around here and you say, well, Jesus was a vegetarian, that's a lie. His old Mark Twain would say, that's a damn lie. Why, that almost borders on statistics. And then, It gets better, or worse, depending upon where you're at. They sued one church that tried to protect its members from Sunday morning harassment. So I guess that they're out here trying to prevent these PETA people from interfering. Now, I guess, what if I went down here to the local Baptist church carrying a sign and placards and calling them names and one thing and another, and then I turned around and sued the church down here because they were trying to protect the people from some lunatic fringe, you know? Sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? I'm just giving you the report, came off the wire services, and I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. I think I'll share that with my listeners and tell you about PETA. I'm sure that most of you probably don't belong to PETA, but, you know, you ought to know that PETA's out here trying to influence you. They're out here trying to influence your children. They're out here trying to influence what's being taught in your school. I thought maybe you ought to know that. So they sued one church, and then its billboards taunt Christians with the message that hogs died for their sins. You know, now that's more religion, isn't it? Now, I thought it was Jesus that died for your sins. I didn't know these hogs over here died for your sins, although eating hog is strictly prohibited in the Scripture. I had a guy say one time, well, if pigs aren't fit for human food, then why did God create pigs? Well, I suppose for the same reason that he created rats and mice. And he created buzzards and lions and tigers. You know, there's a lot of animals out there that, you know, worms and flies and maggots, you know. If God didn't make maggots to eat, then why did he make flies? If God didn't make worms to eat, then why did he make worms? Did it ever occur to you that there's another function, another purpose for a worm and a maggot than to eat? Does everything have to be to eat? You know, I was out here, and I feed birds around my place here. I'm kind of an old fart, and, you know, you get to be old, and you kind of look around, and you see these birds out here in the wintertime struggling to make ends meet. So I put a bird feeder out here 20, 30 years ago, and I put these sunflower seeds. I feed out over 1,000 pounds of sunflower seeds a year. 1,000 pounds. That's about 20 sacks, 20 50-pound bags. So I probably have, I don't know, 10 bird feeders around my house. I hang them all around. And I got these big picture windows. In the wintertime, you know, when there's snow on the ground, I can count 200 birds an hour feeding out of one window. I don't know what's going on in the rest of the house because I can't see all of them, but I can see out one window. And I can count the birds that are flying in and out to these feeders. So I don't want you people to think that George Gordon isn't very ethical about animals. You know, I put my money where my mouth is, you know. I got a neat old cow named Alfalfa out here. She's my buddy, just like your dog. And I feed birds. But I don't say that those birds out there died for my sins or died for your sins or something else, and I don't get sacrilegious about it, and I don't get religious and try to bring in some kind of off-the-wall religious doctrine or ideology that doesn't make sense just because I feed some birds. And I don't eat those birds either. I feed them, but I don't eat them. You know, those birds were made for our enjoyment, and they eat insects, and they have a very vital ecological place in our environment. But that doesn't mean that every bird that was created is meant to eat. PETA insists, contrary to centuries of rabbinical teaching, that the Jewish ritual of kosher slaughter shouldn't be allowed. What do we care about those crazy Jews practicing their kosher ritual? You know, stop and think about it for a minute. You know, it's like saying, you know, those Catholics, you know, they ought to be banned from practicing communion, or they ought to be banned from practicing baptism, or the Jews ought to be banned from practicing kosher. What do we care? How does that affect us? If those Jewish people want to kosher their meat, who gives a rat's rectum? Well, evidently these people do. And here again, it's getting kind of religious, isn't it? How come we can't let those Jews just live their lives and do their thing in life? As long as those Jews aren't making me kosher my meat, aren't making me do what they do. You know, allow me a little latitude for free choice. Now, it just so happens that I practice that kosher of meat. That's where you take the blood out of the meat by soaking the meat in salt. We call it kashering here. I don't know. I don't see anything too bad about that. God told us not to eat blood, so the Jews don't want to eat blood. So what's wrong with that? So those Jews are religious guys. So? Where in the hell does PETA get off over here criticizing their religious ideology? You know, isn't that what freedom of religion is all about? Isn't that what the First Amendment teaches? You know, and I'm not sitting here standing up for Jews or Catholics, Protestants, or anybody else. But, you know, religion is protected by the First Amendment. Why not leave the Baptists and the Jews and the Catholics and everybody else to their own devices and let them live their lives? Why criticize them because they eat meat or because of the way they prepare it? Now he goes on a little bit further and says, shouldn't be allowed, and its infamous Holocaust on your plate campaign crassly compares the Jewish victims of Nazi genocide with farm animals. That is a little bit crass. It's almost like abortion, you know, abortion. They just treat it, you know, abortionists, they just treat abortion like it's family planning. Isn't that what they call it? Family planning. And then finally, 7, PETA has repeatedly attacked research foundations like the March of Dimes, the Pediatric AIDS Foundation, and the American Cancer Society because they support animal-based research that might uncover cures for birth defects and life-threatening diseases. PETA President Ingrid Newkirk has said that even if animal research resulted in a cure for AIDS, we would be against it. Well, I think that she'd stand alone, her and her PETA gang over there'd stand alone, because most people, you know, would be in favor of it. Now, I will say this, that I think that torturing animals in the name of medical science ought to be carefully scrutinized. I'm not in favor of torturing animals, and I wouldn't think about saturating an animal with gasoline and lighting a match to it and watching him burn to death. Now, I can see where that's pretty cruel and unusual. And you know, most of our Western societies have laws against cruelty to animals, starving them to death, you know, and beating them to death for no good purpose and so on. And I think that, by and large, most people support that kind of treatment of animals. But using laboratory rats, you know, to study cancer or AIDS or something else to see if we can come up with a cure for a disease, I think most people would agree is a reasonable use of animal subjects. Now, there's my opinion. PETA has their opinion and George Gordon has his opinion. Now, I said when we started here, we'd take a look at the International Forecaster. This does not come from the International Forecaster, but tomorrow night we'll take a look at Bob Chapman and the International Forecaster, and we'll start off with General Motors' demise was planned years ago. So don't miss tomorrow night's program. All right, you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is sponsored by sponsored by the law school here in Isabella, Missouri. We're heard worldwide on the internet, and we're heard 7 days a week here in the United States. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on the website. It's georgegordon.org. All right, we're out of time. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So thanks for listening, and until then, good night, friends.